toss them and bag them. What's up? This is Movies on Up with our very timely Sharknado episode. I am Ryan, and sitting directly across from me, though I can only see the very top of his head exposed over the desk, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Bisella.
Yep, going no headphones today.
Sans headphones.
Sans laptop.
Sans just about everything.
I pretend everything got eaten by a shark in the parking lot.
Or was dispersed by a tornado.
Yeah.
Indeed. Sharknado, that movie obviously involves both a shark and a tornado. We will get into a little bit more of that later. Somewhat appropriately for this week, our tagline is Winner Eats All, if you think you know what that movie is from. I'll give you a hint, it's not Sharknado, but if you are thinking along those lines, you're not going to be too far off. If you do manage to come up with what movie that is from, send us your guess. You can do that in one of the following ways. You can send it to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess directly on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your answer directly at Dave on the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you get it right, if we choose you, you will win a prize package full of all sorts of goodies. I can almost guarantee that a copy of Sharknado will not be in there, and I think you'll probably be okay with that. Unless Dave manages to write directly to the asylum and tweet at them, because that works when we do it, apparently.
They gotta put it on DVD. I'm surprised it's not yet. It should have been on DVD the Tuesday after it premiered, but they're getting two other airings out of it, so...
This will be their fourth airing that they've had this summer. Kind of the reason, other than it's a fantastic film, but the main reason that we are doing Sharknado this week and not during Shark Week. We are fully aware Shark Week was last week, but Sharknado, its final airing for the summer, if you are listening to this in real time, will be Saturday. So you've got one final chance to check that flick out. If you haven't seen it yet, it will lead into the premiere of Ghost Shark, which looks almost as ridiculous as Sharknado, so you can have an entire night full of shark devilry on Sci-Fi coming up this Saturday. For more information, see the blog post that I put up a couple weeks ago. It does make mention of that, and that every time Sharknado has been on the television, it's garnered more views than the time before. So clearly there is some sort of groundswell behind this movie. Before we dive headlong into the fun that is Sharknado, we have what is become probably will be the most fun that we will have on this episode of the podcast. That is our bonus list of top five sci-fi original movies. And this is not necessarily their five best or our five favorite.
They're the five we could remember off top of our head.
Which, that has to count for something. So number five, Ice Spiders. Number four, Sharktopus. Number three, Megapython versus Gatoroid. Number two, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. And number one,
Frankenfish.
Yeah, so those are five sci-fi movies.
I honestly haven't seen any of them, but I was obsessed with the real Frankenfish for a large portion of my life.
You know what? I think the sad thing is I've seen four of these. Frankenfish is the one that I have not seen.
That's the only one I want to see.
So I guess that's good for us putting it at number one. That makes perfect sense. If you've seen Frankenfish and you like it, let us know, and maybe we'll watch it. moviesonup@gmail.com.
If you've ever seen a real Frankenfish, email me, because I'd like to talk to you about it.
Or better yet, send us the picture. If you've got a flip phone camera picture of a Frankenfish, I'm sure that would just brighten Dave's day to no end. So coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, a lot of the movies on our top five list come from Sci-Fi Channel and their semi-production arm, which is The Asylum. And it looks like they've got a formula. You can argue about another director that we talk a lot about, Tyler Perry. He's got a formula. These guys do too. Now, they're not quite as popular, but at least their thinking is kind of on the same track.
You know what works, you do it for cheap, and it pays off. Compare quality between Sci-Fi and Tyler Perry. We're not doing that, but Tyler Perry knows what works with his movies, and he keeps doing it, and people complain about it. Sci-Fi does the exact same thing.
I guess people can still complain about it, but for, at least for Sharknado, every time this movie airs, more people watch it, so maybe the complaining is getting a little bit less. But for The Asylum and for their formula that they use, they've got kind of a couple different plays in the playbook. One of them is, you know, they take ridiculous things, smash them together, like Sharknado, like
Sharktopus.
Sharktopus, that's a great example. One of the other plays that they're very familiar with is this versus this. So you have Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, Mega Python versus Gatoroid. And then there's what?
Tiffany versus Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, that was actually the most enjoyable part of that movie. And then there is what I think is kind of their underhanded trick, and that is, hey, you know there's a Hansel and Gretel movie coming out? Well, we're going to make one. It's going to be called Hansel and Gretel. Not Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. That's the quote-unquote good one. They make their knockoff version, which they've done for a lot of things. They did a Thor movie right around the time Thor came out. They did a Battleship knockoff. Not that
Abraham Lincoln Zombie Slayer.
Yeah, they've got quite an interesting list of movies here. And I'm just going to kind of go down just very quickly. Obviously, we mentioned Hansel and Gretel. They also did a movie called Jack the Giant Killer. These are not the droids you're looking for. Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies. Nazis at the Center of the Earth. Grimm's Snow White. That sounds an awfully lot like the television program that some of you folks may be watching. 2012 Ice Age. Maybe that had something to do with the film entitled 2012. Who's to say? Battle of Los Angeles. Boy, that sounds awfully familiar, too. Paranormal Entity.
I actually did see that one.
Did you like that one?
No, I did not.
No, I didn't figure. Transmorphers, Fall of Man. God, I wonder what they could be ripping off there. Alien versus Hunter, which sounds an awful lot like Alien versus Predator. So at least, you know, if they're going to rip off some of these movies, they're at least picking bad ones to rip off. So the bar's not set too high.
They're not doing like Schindler's
grocery
things
list.
He jotted down.
Yeah, they have kind of take an aim at movies that might be within their realm. I'm not entirely sure what their realm is. You were not thrilled about having to sit through this.
I'm still not.
Initially.
I'm still not.
More or less, I think I just wanted to find out what kind of the Twitter fuss was about, so to speak. I didn't think that it was going to be the most awful movie I've ever seen. It's not as bad and as unwatchable as Birdemic. It really isn't. It's not even close. There are parts of this movie that are semi-entertainable or entertaining. I don't think entertainable is a word, and neither is Sharknado. Maybe Dave will argue that point. But overall, I mean, did you like anything about it?
I liked that Blaze chick or whatever.
Nova.
Yeah. That was about it. The rest of it, I get over bad effects if you try to make a decent movie. I was surprised by Ian Ziering. Like, he gave it his all and actually wasn't
awful.
Wasn't bad at
it.
Like, it seemed like he got it. Like, he was giving it his all, but he understood what he was doing. That's about all I can nice say about it.
I feel like, to a certain extent, they all got it. I mean, I think
Tara Reid knew what was going on. I think she just showed up and didn't seem there at all. Like, she didn't seem present.
I'm not sure that she can seem present. I think she was doing as good as she can. She's just not good. But at least it seemed like she had an idea that they were making a ridiculous movie.
She doesn't even seem like a person. Like, she doesn't, I don't understand. Like,
she's like a robot.
Yeah, that's just haywire. Like, she didn't look like she knew what was going on or that they were filming her or anything. I don't think she knew she was there.
Spoiler alert, she may or may not be involved in the second one. There was a story that she got fired from the second one very shortly after it was announced. But so if we do a Sharknado 2, the second one episode, we may not be talking Tara Reid. But let's dive headlong into Sharknado, the first one. And I will say this. For a movie that is called Sharknado, that's what everybody wants to see. You don't have to wait very long to see it at all. Inside of 11 seconds, you see sharks get sucked into a tornado, and you have your Sharknado. It also kind of sets the bar for the CG effects in this movie, which are not good.
No, they're on par with what they usually do. And again, I can get over, but here's the thing, is underwater, they look good. The effects under the water, at the beginning looked okay.
There are sometimes, like, I can think of a scene later on in the movie where there's like a group of sharks that are swimming right towards the camera.
Oh yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, no, that's not good at all. You know, it has its moments. The CG, I would say probably 90% of the time in this movie is awful.
But they know what they're doing. Like,
right.
The CG is essentially a character.
They're not like, making Avatar.
More people are tuning in to see the bad CG than Tara Reid. So it's like they understand that their bad effects are a character and are as crucial to the movie as anybody they cast.
Yeah, I mean, it's schlocky. It's very... very campy. I mean, they weren't trying to make a great movie and failed. They were trying to make a bad movie and succeeded. And the reason, one of the big reasons that I kind of did want to check this movie out was because it very much reminds me of B movies from, you know, the 60s and the 50s, even before that, that, you know, they were made to play at a drive-in on a double feature with a movie you're actually paying to see. But these were movies that didn't cost anything. They had people that were either washed up or hadn't really started yet, and they're made on the cheap just to fill time. And that's exactly what this movie is. It's supposed to fill, you know, 2 hours on a Saturday night on cable television, which it's done, and it's done exceedingly well. And it accomplishes that by either having being a tremendous movie, which it doesn't do, or trying to be at least worthy of talking about. And the CG, I think you're right, casting Tara Reid and Ian Ziering in a movie about
John Hurd.
Yeah. Oh, God. I felt bad for him, too. He's another one. But he was acting, but it just seemed like, boy, he doesn't know where he's at either.
No.
We find ourselves, as soon as we were torn away from the Sharknado, on a pirate ship, I guess. I don't know what to call them. But picked a bad time to poach the fins from sharks. But I guess not to worry, because it is the sharks that really should be afraid of us, not people should be afraid of flying sharks.
The whole beginning setup, I just didn't get.
It seemed like they wanted you to not feel bad that these guys are going to get eaten first because they're jerks.
I think it was just there to set up why there were so many sharks in a small... Because what was it, 100, 150,000 sharks they were trying to sell for $1 million?
I was trying to do the math on that. It's like $5,000 a shark or something. I don't know.
So it just seemed unnecessary. Where I think if you're going into Sharknado, you're not going to question, oh, why are all these sharks in one spot when the tornado hits?
I just assumed that they were running away from the tornado or swimming away from the tornado.
Yeah,
I didn't need the pirates to...
I don't need the faux social commentary about... poaching and stuff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we got some interesting deaths. We got some really memorable characters. I'm not sure what nationality that pirate captain was, but I couldn't understand a damn word he said. This is the first note I made about the CG, and that is, I think it's the second pirate that dies. The one that gets hungry, hungry hippoed. There's just a shark laying on the deck of the ship, and it looks like the hungry, hungry hippo game, the way it's just... eats him, and that looks just miserable, but it's fun. At the very, like, I laughed when I saw that, and I laughed because it looked bad, because it was ridiculous, but it seemed fun, which is kind of the tone and what I take away from this movie. I laughed a lot, not because things were, you know, laugh out loud funny,
they were just ridiculous.
Yes,
like the logic, there's no logic in it, and if you can't get past that, like a shark attack on the beach, you have all these people out in the water that don't see the shark, but then you have somebody up near the shore who's in, like,
oh, we're going to get there. I wrote it down.
Okay, I'll let you get there, because it's ridiculous.
Yes.
You can't think any logic in these movies at all.
And I like how you skip the fact about sharks being sucked up into a water spout, living to be transported to Los Angeles, where they can be dropped and are still alive to eat people. Yes. So, yeah, this movie... not really heavy on the scientific fact and logic, but, you know, semi-enjoyable nonetheless. So after we get to the pirates, we finally get our first glimpse of Ian Ziering, Finn, and his buddy Baz.
Yeah, his name's Finn.
Yeah, get it?
Shut
Finn,
up.
Shark Finn. That'll come back later, too. But
unfortunately, it does.
Yeah, in a big way. But I feel like... whatever their budget was, they had to spend quite a bit of it making it look like Finn and Baz were actually able to surf and drive a jet ski. I mean, those were bad, like old 1950s process shots, but done like CG.
But what kills me is there's a line John Hurd says where, talking about Ian Ziering, where it's just like, oh, he's the best surfer I've ever seen. In the first like 5 minutes of meeting Ian Ziering, he wipes out like three times. Like, you haven't seen many surfers, John Hurd. I'm sorry.
That fact escaped me. I did notice that he was supposed to be a world-class surfer. And you would think that as the buddy of a world-class surfer, you would know how to drive a jet ski. Like, you may have been on one before.
When did your job? I think he was, wasn't he a lifeguard?
I have no idea what
he was. I thought
they
were both lifeguards. I don't know. Maybe I missed the detail.
Lifeguard slash bar owner.
Yeah.
Slash playboy. At either rate, they picked a bad day to go out surfing. They're out on the water. And when we head back inside to Finn's bar, we meet John Hurd, find out how great of a surfer Finn is. But we also meet the lovely Nova.
Blaze. Oh, Nova.
Yeah. I will get you to remember her name by the time it's over. One of the first things we see from her is this, spoiler alert, it's a shark bite on her leg.
Clearly a shark bite that they try to keep mysterious.
Yes. But it had to be from a very tiny shark, and it really is only on like the side of her leg. So this shark's mouth really didn't seem like it wrapped around. I'm not sure. But, you know, she tries to pawn it off, and she comes up with a bunch of excuses throughout the movie on what it is because she just doesn't want to tell people it's a shark bite. I never quite got the need for all of that because it was obvious. But she did fine in this movie. One of the few things I actually enjoyed.
She was fun. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just that she was hot. Like, she was, her character arc was weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm obsessed with Ian Ziering. Oh, he has a son? Hubba hubba. Like,
hey.
That's, yeah. So it goes from her longing over Ian Ziering for half the movie to once his son, who him and Tara Reid had to have had kids when they were like 13 or 14.
Yeah, because the son
they
looks.
They have two, like, high teenage kid. So she meets the son, and then all of a sudden it's like a love story between her and the son, and it's like, yeah, you got daddy issues and son issues, I think. So.
Yeah, it came off as creepy, but at that point you've seen so much ridiculousness that it really doesn't matter too much. But speaking of ridiculous, and we have already kind of spoken of this, but there are a couple things that I wrote down, like just that there's no way that this could happen. And the first dude that dies at the beach, the first guy, is standing in water that is up to his shins.
Yeah.
And gets eaten, bitten by a shark that you cannot see.
No.
So this shark had to be
like
from belly to top of fin, like a foot?
Like it attacked,
less than that?
It attacked the shore, the water closest to shore first.
Or maybe it was a sand shark.
Oh.
Yeah, it really made no sense.
There's a lot of instances like this. Like, there's a time, like, later on, not too far from here, they're driving, but yet it's shallow enough for them to drive, but yet the water's deep enough for all these sharks to be swimming in.
Apparently, these are very tiny sharks. These are baby sharks. Who knows? But, yeah, don't come to this movie for science fact. And definitely, when you're out on the water trying to save your best friend from being eaten by a shark, I think yelling at the shark and just, I mean, what was the plan there? Just sit on the jet ski. Guy can't drive a jet ski, so he just sat on it, got his leg bitten, so you're expecting a similar scar as the lovely Nova's. Not quite. But by the time they get him back to the beach, Baz, that is, gets his leg chomped by a shark.
The bad Australian. That's what Baz is short for.
He was Tasmanian.
Whatever.
That's terrible. They finally get back to the shore. In the midst of all this blood and chaos, people that are seriously ripped up, the lifeguard does find his way to Baz and says he needs a tourniquet for something that's not even bleeding. If you're going to put a tourniquet on something, there's got to be blood squirting everywhere. And you would assume that after getting munched by a shark, maybe that would be the case. Not so much.
Then the place is fine. Like, there's this giant shark tragedy. And then, we're just hanging out at the bar, drinking and eating, all happy. Nothing about it makes sense. And
we'll just have to stay out of the water for a couple days.
Hey, remember when all those people died 20 minutes ago? You want a burger?
Pretty much. It is kind of back to normal, business as usual, and it stays that way until the storm shows up, the hurricane shows up. And then, and I, I've never lived in a place that's been susceptible to that kind of weather, but it seems like they flipped the switch pretty quick to like, hey, you know, have a drink to everybody get the hell out of here now. I don't
care
where you go.
There's a shark in the bar.
Even before the shark comes through the window, he's like, all right, everybody's got to go. I'm closing the bar. Yeah. I got to get everything stowed away. Get the hell out of here. Yeah, and then the shark just comes flying through the window, and this was another terrible CG kill, but I guess, you know, a pretty effective shark dispatching weapon is a pull cue.
Stick. The thin end of a pull cue, go right through it. Did Blaze stab it?
Yes, Nova stabbed the shark, because she hates sharks. And John Heard mentioned something about her being an environmentalist, but being very hard on sharks. I don't know if that was a storyline that got cut out, because they do mention that she's an environmentalist a couple times, but I didn't find any evidence to support that.
Just like there was no evidence to really support Ian Ziering as a great surfer. I can read waves.
The poster behind John Hurt at the bar, which was pretty rad. There are at least a couple nods to Jaws in this movie, and I feel like there's two of them that are pretty obvious, and those are the ones I picked up. If there's any I missed.
Oh, I would have missed.
How can you really blame me? The first one comes about 20 minutes in after the shark invades the bar, and they realize that they just got to get the hell out of there. They're running down the Santa Monica Pier. At some point, a shark ends up with a pressurized bottle in its mouth. And you know what's gonna happen. The shark gets its face blown off, which I actually thought was... I understood what they were doing. I kind of liked it, and I didn't think it looked awful.
Yeah.
Dave is not convinced.
It was there.
One of the other moments that just kind of makes you groan is when the Ferris wheel kind of comes off its hinges on the pier and proceeds to roll surprisingly well, like a tire, down the entirety of the pier, manages to crush one guy who you would think has to be the most unlucky dude in the world. It's a Ferris wheel. Like, there's plenty of empty space.
It reminds me of Rob Riggle has a stand-up bit when he talks about a car going into a grocery store and hitting 35 people. And he's like, how are you that 35th person? Like, do-do-do-do-do.
It's very much reminded me of, not to spoiler alert, the end of Prometheus, but like, instead of trying to run straight for a mile, why don't you just sidestep, you know, like 20 feet, and you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But... Nevertheless, the Ferris wheel from the Santa Monica Pier becomes our latest casualty. At some point in all of the madness, and this is where our story really begins to take hold, Baz makes a call to his estranged wife, his ex-wife, probably, maybe officially.
Finn?
Yeah, I'm going to get to Baz and what he says about April, but Finn calls his ex-wife, Tara Reid, about trying to pick up his daughter, get her out of there, because Finn knows that this is not good weather. Los Angeles isn't made for this amount of water.
Yeah.
Or sharks.
And at no point is he mentioned a son.
No.
Just, I need to get my daughter. I need to get my daughter. It's not until they go to pick up the daughter that the wife is like, oh, Max is at flight school. And he's like, oh, we better go get him,
that
too.
Oh, that kid, too. Yeah.
I forgot about that guy.
I bet
Blaze is going to try to bone him.
In fairness. He thought that the son was vacationing with his friends in Tampa, so he would have been safe. So thank you, movie, for closing up that plot loop that Dave was just about to rip open. After, you know, they kind of decide that they're all going to go because Nova lives on the beach. Her house is flooded. She's got nowhere else to go. Baz is just the buddy along for the ride. John Hurt is drunk in the back of the truck, so obviously he's going to be going.
He's already killed a shark with a bar stool, though.
Or at least beaten it senseless. This clearly is a man you're going to want in a shark encounter with his special move of bar stool bashing. But I believe Boz makes a reference to being... Claudia is Finn's daughter, but he makes a reference to being her actual biological dad. Finn says something about, oh, you know, April, my wife, doesn't really like you. And he's like, no, mate, she doesn't like you. She loves me. Where do you think Claudia came from? But nobody says anything. This guy makes a couple lines that should get him slapped. But it just, you get no reaction from anybody. And he's just like, hey, man, I boned your wife and your daughter is my kid. Not even
some Sam Kinison type stuff.
Yeah, not even like a shut up. It's just, Next scene, I think that's probably the best thing, is just moving right along. You mentioned driving down the street where there's water that doesn't seem to come past people's ankles, but it is deep enough
for
sharks.
Big old sharks to be swimming.
For sharks to swim, and it's deep enough to warrant the comment that, oh, don't worry about the car because I've sealed all the electronics. I could drive this thing to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So you'd think when they got out of that vehicle, there might be water, I don't know, up to their waist or something. Not really the case. They do eventually have to get out of the vehicle to try and tell people to get to higher ground and, I guess, physically escort them to said higher ground. But the takeaway from this is if you're gonna do that, if that's going to be a good idea, stick to the people, because you start messing around with animals, dogs. I don't care how great of a shark basher you are with a bar stool, it's not going to be your day.
At this point, I'm like kind of checked out of the movie. Like, it's just now you're just watching it, but they're still trying to have like characters and stories and stuff. And
this is one of the first. And at this point, John Hurt is kind of a main character. Dies off screen. You can hear him kind of screaming.
You get the reaction shots.
Oh, God. Ow. That hurts. I feel like those are actually the lines.
Probably.
But, yeah, it's kind of a poor way to end for George. It's John Hurt's character. I talked about proportioning of the budget, where a lot of it had to be proportioned to make Finn and Baz look like they were capable in the water. I feel like maybe the second third of the budget had to go towards eye makeup, because there is an awful lot of eye makeup in this movie. And most of it can be found around the eye holes of Tara Reid. But I think that Nova and Claudia have their own allowance. And I think even Baz is wearing eyeliner.
Probably. I know Ian Ziering is.
Gosh. Maybe. Yeah, I think everybody was. Maybe that's why John Hurt had to die so soon, because he just wasn't holding his own in the eye makeup department. When we meet April and Claudia and Colin, the new boyfriend or whatever, we kind of get that machismo standoff between Finn and Colin, which I don't really think either of them would intimidate me.
But I like that Tara Reid, when Ian Ziering shows up, is just like, get out of here, you can't come in, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes in. And then Colin's like, hey, Ian Ziering, get out of here. And Tara Reid's like, hey, don't be rude. What?
She was pretty rude. And
you were just telling him to leave.
And she did call Nova a stripper, and she's not a stripper.
I wish.
She's an environmentalist.
Oh, yeah.
With a history of shark hatred. Colin, as you could probably guess, is not long for this movie. You can say this about sharks, is they have a knack for entrances. And those entrances are usually coming through windows.
Windows, yeah.
Right. And this is exactly how Colin meets his demise, when a shark flies through the window and slurps him.
Yeah.
There are sounds that are made by the shark as he's eating. He or she, that could be a lady shark, is eating Colin. And at no other point do I hear sharks doing that. I don't know if that's a thing they actually do, but it just sounded kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, the whole living room scene was ridiculous. And like the house floods and they kill the shark and they just run out to the driveway where the car is just on solid ground. And then the house collapses. Just their house.
Just as they were leaving, yes.
Just
because they didn't
house.
Have the CGI budget to no. collapse the other ones.
Just that house by itself collapses.
The stupid Colin can't build a house. The entire first floor is flooded by water, and a lot of blood gets in the water. And this is where Baz makes the comment that it must be that time of the month.
Yeah.
A period joke.
Yeah.
Really? There should have been something. Somebody should have like slapped him. Or said, dude.
Or just thrown him in the water.
Yes. At that point, I would have left him, especially if I was Finn, having already made some kind of comment about doing my ex-wife. And then that terrible joke, it's not funny. It's just, it's like I feel like a sixth grader would have written a better joke than that. So the script is not the strong point of Sharknado.
If there was one.
Well, that's true. He could have been, the whole thing could have been ad-libbed.
Could have been Apatow style.
Yeah. Speaking of the script, we get this line from Finn. And I'm not even sure what language this is, but he says, I'm going to push the shark out of here. When I do this, get to the car as fast as you can. When I do this.
I didn't understand.
Who says that?
I don't know.
I don't know why you'd push the shark out of the house. I don't know what that
They're
was.
They're leaving
going
the
to.
House. Leave that car. Leave the so shark. That when that house collapses, it collapses on the shark.
That I guess was dead? I don't really know. There are times in this movie that they come up with plans, so to speak, that don't seem to make a lot of sense, and I'm not really going to investigate them too much. They must have spent the money that they did spend on eyeliner for the good stuff, because no matter how much it rains, no matter how much they get in the water, it never runs.
No.
So maybe it's not even eye makeup. It might just be like tar.
I like that there was no effort to... They're running like it's the end of the world.
Yes.
Everywhere else they go, it's just business as usual.
People are just kind of milling about.
And then the school bus scene in the background, they're just cars driving. It's sunny. It's not even raining. Like the shots on the bridge, you could just see traffic going in the background. Like it's not raining at all.
No. And April was pretty quick to just be like, ah, move on. Forget that bus. There's nobody in there. Just keep going. But I guess, you know, you have to set up Finn as a very selfless guy. So he rappels down and
it's an entire school bus of children.
And this scene kind of drags because it seems like...
And they
like,
cut it pretty short, too, because it's an entire school bus of children.
And it's still...
How about a family of four? Same effect.
Yeah.
But it's at this point in the movie that I have a note written here that...
Okay.
It's something they really missed that halfway through the movie... I just said to myself, at some point, Finn better surf a shark. And he never does.
Never does surf a shark. Maybe they were holding that back.
That's in the second one.
Yeah, for Sharknado 2, the second one. I mean, you can't blow your entire wad, and you got to hold something back for the sequel. So, spoiler alert, in this scene, Finn does not surf a shark, but he does manage to save all of the kids and the bus driver, who has got that look about him. You know... He's going to get killed.
Oh, yeah.
But kudos to the movie. He doesn't get eaten by a shark, which you're almost certain is going to happen. He ends up getting smashed by part of the Hollywood sign that gets ripped off the Hollywood Hills.
Because he moved to Hollywood to be an actor, and his mom always told him Hollywood was going to kill him.
And she was right. One of the problems that I have with this movie is the battery-powered television that Finn's daughter is carrying around. They're in vehicles a lot. There's a radio.
He's got the electronics locked up so that you'd think the radio would
work. That'd be fine. Who's got a battery-powered TV?
What 18, 17-year-old girl has a battery-powered TV?
Right. I mean, and this is another thing we mentioned with Kick-Ass is like in that movie, when the internet stream got shut off, everybody went to laptops instead of using your phone. Okay, fine. That was 3 years ago. But what 17-year-old wouldn't use her phone at the very least? So that the TV seemed very, very strange. The weather's back. It's not a sunny day anymore. We've got rain falling. We also have sharks falling from the sky. And I don't know what kind of sharks these were, but the average great white shark weighs anywhere between 1,500 and 2,400 pounds. So if it hit the roof of your car, it's going to smash.
It's crushing the car.
Yes, you're all dead.
Not biting through the roof, yeah.
Yeah, so again, don't necessarily stick with this movie for scientific facts. I have some coming up for you later. One of the things that I did really, really enjoy about the movie, and maybe it's just because it was ridiculous, but not in a period joke kind of way, is when they get to the convenience store, and the convenience store clerk is talking about how this Sharknado is clearly a plot of the government.
Like, your eyes are sore from eye rolling in this whole movie, and it's just like, why are you...
That just seemed to fit. Like, the entire movie is so ridiculous. To be able to top that by saying the government is unleashing a Sharknado on Los Angeles, I said, yeah. Somehow in this ridiculous movie, they've managed to make this character say something ridiculous. not the voice of reason. They managed to... It seems like the Sharknado is more reasonable than the fact that it's a government plot. That made me smile. It also made me smile when we have to abandon the Finnmobile.
Because it blows up for nothing.
Yeah, I guess what you sacrifice in insulating your electronics is the ability to drive across town. Because the Finnmobile doesn't make it. But luckily, they break down almost right across the street from an emporium for Hollywood stunt vehicles. And Baz steals what looks to be some kind of super Hummer with, is that a nitrous button? The button's as big as Finn's face, and it says very clearly on it, nitrous, which I was able to read without my glasses. So clearly...
it's a nitrous button.
Yes, it is a nitrous button, which allows Baz to outdrive the police, who have nothing better to do in a scenario which sharks are falling from the sky than to chase people that are trying to drive around an accident. That seems kind of incongruous. They're driving like maniacs so that they can get to the flight school.
Oh, yeah. He's not on vacation with his buddies because he's at flight school?
Yes. They're looking for Finn's son, Matt, and he's at flight school in Van Nuys. So they get to this flight school, which is really, I hope he didn't pay anything more than about $500 because it's just a barn. And the best they can come up with for a hurricane shelter is hiding under the stairs with a piece of sheet metal in front of them.
Yeah.
I think at that point, you really would have been better served to just stand out in the middle of the street. There's not really a whole lot separating you from the Sharknado. As we find, as the Sharknado comes, and the only thing separating our heroes and the rest of the flight school from the Sharknado is Finn's ability to hold this piece of sheet metal. I'm not a storm expert, but I feel like that probably would have sucked them all out. But at this point, you can't really argue logic. And you can't really argue the logic that dropping a bomb in a tornado is not only the best way to destroy it, but it's dangerous. Everyone says that it's dangerous. Nobody says that it's stupid.
It's stupid. They're putting a bomb in a tornado to kill the tornado, essentially.
And presumably the sharks within
it
as well.
And what's bad is they try to use science with it. They try to scientifically...
And who tries to be the scientific voice of reason?
I don't remember.
Boz.
Yeah. They try to explain scientifically why putting a bomb in a tornado will get rid of the tornado.
And you know what? I don't know if that is possible. I'm willing. Maybe it's just because I'm an idiot or my brain has been turned to mush by this movie. But I'm willing to say, all right, I could hot air, cold air. If you just make it all hot air, then maybe you don't have a tornado anymore. But I don't feel like these homemade bombs, small as they are really going to do the trick.
Not let alone flying into the tornado to drop the bombs.
Yeah. But we'll get there, too.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought stuck out kind of like a sore thumb is, you know, there is the environmentalist angle for Nova's character that you don't really get any kind of evidence to support. There's also this dynamic between Finn and his daughter Claudia where they clearly don't get along. They have some sort of a dysfunctional relationship, but it just, every time it comes up, it seems like they're really trying to beat you over the head with it.
Yeah, she's being a little brat, like when the world's dying, like just to really drive home the point.
It never comes up organically. It's always like, oh dad, I don't like you. We mentioned at the top of the show about Nova's shark bite, and it is, spoiler alert, a shark bite. In this scene where they are making the bombs is when she opens up to Matt.
She opens up to the son of the dude she's been trying to get with for a long time.
Presumably, yeah. And he's able to get her to open up by showing her the scar that he has from falling off a sliding board and apparently being impaled by a battleship.
Yeah.
Like, the scar that he has from falling off Yes, it's bigger than her body, and it looked pretty gross. Not believable at all. Holy hell, I'm never going to let my kids on a sliding board if that can happen. You're safer letting them swim with sharks.
Pretty much,
point of fact. So we find out that Nova hates these sharks because they took her grandfather and all these other old people she was on a boat with. Or was it because the shark bit her, or is it both? She just says, that's why I hate sharks, and I don't really know if she hates them because of her grandfather, which would be, hey, that's kind of sweet.
Or the bite.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I feel like you're probably justified, but I think Nova gives our second nod to Jaws when they are in the helicopter trying to throw these bombs into a tornado when she says, we're going to need a bigger chopper. I don't think so. I don't think any size helicopter would fare better when flying into a tornado.
We're going to need a bigger bomb. Makes more sense.
Yeah, I think so. But how do you miss a tornado with a bomb? A tornado sucks everything into the middle of it. You'd think you could just really throw it in the vicinity and it would get sucked in. Yeah. But apparently you can miss a tornado with a bomb, or it can not detonate correctly, which is kind of what happens. And it spurs a couple things. Finn into action by taking the bigger bomb that was produced by the now deceased Boz, who dies off screen. Good on you for that, mate. It seems like we're going to lose another couple main characters as Finn is driving to the center of this big tornado to drive the Hummer tank bomb truck directly into the tornado. And Nova, in particular Nova fashion, engages in some sort of knife fight on the, I don't know, landing strut of the helicopter with a shark. She falls and is swallowed by a shark and Sharknado. So down the most visually appealing part of the movie, Finn seems to have some better luck as he is able to, again, hit that nitrous button and detonate the final Sharknado, saving the retirement community and greater Los Angeles as a whole.
At this point, it's not even worth questioning anything or watching or... It's background noise at this point.
And there are a couple things that I'd like to question. One of the things that I did like about the movie was I've been to Los Angeles, and I don't spend a whole lot of time there, but there were some landmarks that, you know, you associate with Southern California, the Santa Monica Pier obviously being one of them, the Hollywood sign, Man's Chinese Theater, and the Roosevelt Hotel. These things all kind of get trashed in the movie. And I mean, I liked seeing that. It kind of did make it seem like it was Los Angeles. So I thought they did a nice job in weaving that into the movie.
Yeah, that's a positive, because that's an easy thing to be cheap and recreate somewhere.
Yeah, it could have felt like they say it's in Los Angeles, but it really could have been anywhere. At least these things did kind of tie it to Los Angeles. You would think that maybe driving or attempting to drive this truck into the middle of a tornado would be your climactic scene, but it's really not.
No. Finn's just getting started.
Oh, yes. The Finn heroics. We've seen his proficiency at this point with a chainsaw, where he was able to slice a flying shark in half and not manage to get any blood on him at all, which is super impressive. I mean, anybody can cleave a shark in two as it's flying at you with a anybody could do that. But
to walk away clean.
Yeah, to not soil your shirt, that's something else entirely. But apparently he was not satisfied with walking away without a speck of blood on him, because
a shark's going to eat his baby girl.
Yes, his baby girl who doesn't like him.
Who he doesn't like.
Yeah, but this is when Finn shows his heroic nature, fires up his trusty chainsaw, and leaps headlong into the mouth of a shark.
Again, go back to the Ferris wheel. Jump out of the way. Push her out of the way. Jump with her. Fine. Don't dive headfirst into a shark.
But it is a good thing that he does. As he dives headlong into the shark, it's pretty clear at this point that he's going to end up cutting himself out. Like, you can just see that coming 6 miles away. And he certainly does, covered in shark blood and viscera. But he finds Bonus in there.
Finds Blaze.
Finds Nova, who has been swallowed whole as well.
By the same shark.
By this exact same shark. What are the odds? Who knows? Never tell me the odds. But it is a good thing that he jumped headlong into that shark. Otherwise, you know, she would have, I guess, just drowned in the stomach of a shark.
You'd think she would have drowned by now.
You would think so.
Or suffered drama from the spinning around in a Sharknado for so long.
Who knows?
She's fine, though.
Yeah, she's fine, covered in blood, but none the worse the wear.
But then, Tara Reid comes over to Finn and wipes a little bit of blood off his mouth and kisses him. It's like, oh, wait, has this been a love story? Is this a love story? Like, have they been trying to rekindle the whole time? Like, that wasn't part of the story, and then all of a sudden she's kissing him.
I think it kind of was. Claudia mentions it one of the times she's telling her dad about how bad he sucks.
Spoiler alert, they're divorced by the second one.
Oh, no. But I'm sure he'll have to drive to New York to save them from another Sharknado.
Is that where the second
one takes place in New York, yeah. That's all we know about it to this point. You kind of get your finishing shot there with everyone standing in and amongst dead flopping sharks and a nice sunset. So everyone does kind of get to ride off. Everyone that didn't die off screen gets to ride off into the sunset. And you mentioned during our Western episode a particular song that you really liked from one of the movies. I wrote down the lyrics to the credit song from Sharknado, and they are as follows. Shark, shark, shark. Go, 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 go. Run away from the Sharknado. It's your greatest foe, foe, foe. You don't want to get eaten by a Sharknado.
Well, before the credits even roll is the most eye-rolling inducing moment ever. Not only is Finn...
The name of the main character.
The name of the main character.
Sharks have fins.
Or sharks have fins.
Yes.
It's also Swedish for end.
Yes.
The end.
Right.
And like every sketch, when I used to write sketches, I would always end them. Everything I ever write, I just put Finn at the end.
Lowercase.
Lowercase period. Finn, because it's always been funny to me.
Right.
Screen fades to black. Finn. It's like, oh, come on.
But you laughed. You're laughing
That's
now.
That's the biggest laugh I got out of the whole movie.
So clearly.
That's the one thing they did that actually got me.
The Asylum and you are on the same page.
Yeah.
You both think it's funny. So Sharknado 2, the second one, takes place in New York. Having sat through the first Sharknado, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you are probably not going to see the second one unless I make you do it for
the
show.
I might have to because the girlfriend watched Sharknado with me and she laughed the whole time.
So I should really be doing this podcast with Erin because
pretty much, yeah. She enjoyed it.
She's not as much of a snob as you are. This movie is made, if you can have a couple beers in you, I suggest it. If you are, of course, legally old enough to drink. Have a couple, have some friends over and watch it. I think you'll have a good time. It is by no means a serious movie. It is by no means any kind of an accurate movie. But if you go into it with the right attitude, I think you can at least enjoy some of the ridiculous things that we've pointed out. We could spend, probably 3 hours talking about all of the crap that's in this movie. So clearly Sharknado, while it's fun, it may not be exactly the best place to go if you want some actual shark facts, but Movies On Up is actually your destination for shark-related learning, as I have put together a top five list of my five favorite shark facts that I found on the Discovery Channel website during Shark Week, in no particular order. Even though sharks have razor-sharp teeth, they don't use them for chewing prey. They are for ripping, resulting in chunks being swallowed whole. So I guess you could see where Finn and Nova could be swallowed whole. That's not necessarily a giant plot hole. While shark fin soup is a Chinese tradition, the primary downside to finning is that it causes the deaths of 73 million sharks per year. Obviously, about 500,000 of them, or whatever number that pirate captain gave, is a result of Sharknado. 6 years before Steven Spielberg's Jaws, Burt Reynolds starred in a movie called Shark. Real sharks were used in filming, and a stuntman was actually killed. As best we can tell, the Asylum did not use real sharks in this film.
Or Burt Reynolds.
Or Burt Reynolds, for that matter. Volusia County, Florida, has had more shark attacks than anywhere in the world. 210 since 1882. And of the roughly 50 shark attacks reported each year, only 10% proved to be fatal. So while an attack is rare, dying from one is even rarer. The takeaway from that is let your kids swim with sharks. Don't let them on a sliding board. So those are kind of a bonus top five list for you. It's all actual facts about sharks to augment the lying facts about sharks that Sharknado will have hit you over the head with for the last hour and a half. As is our custom, we like to give you a focused bonus watch this of the week, and our theme for this week is Tara Reid movies. The dramatic pause was not for dramatic effect, it was for me to remember what it was. So Dave, why don't you give the folks at home a movie to watch featuring the lovely and talented Tara Reid?
Not a lot to choose from. I like a couple, but this one, she's actually one of the three main leads. Obviously the weakest one between Rosario Dawson and the lovely Rachel Lee Cook, Josie and the Pussycats. I love that movie. I'll say what you will about that movie. I adore it. I love it. She didn't take away too much from it. Her boyfriend at the time, Carson Daly, makes an appearance. I love the movie, Josie and the Pussycats.
She didn't take away from my pick either because neither of us realized she was in it. When you think of Cruel Intentions, I don't think Tara Reid is the first that comes to mind.
I think Ryan Phillippe's abs.
Yeah, and his ass. Those yeah. are the we think about Ryan Phillippe's body parts. Clearly, that is what you take
I do
away.
That in about any movie, really, though.
Yeah, whether he's in it or yeah. not. Man, I love Sharknado because of Ryan Phillippe's ass. But Cruel Intentions, actually, I think it's a pretty good movie.
At the time, I don't know if it holds up. I haven't watched it in a long time. But
it's been probably like 5 years since I've seen it. I mean, I think it holds up. It's pretty weird. I thought Sarah Michelle Gellar was really good in it. It surprises me that she's not doing more.
I always liked her as a leading like lady.
Yeah, it's just surprising that she's not doing more. Like she showed in that movie that I'm not just Buffy. Like I can do. Yeah. Can be a crazy coked out skank.
Yeah. No, it's a cool movie.
Yeah.
Another Tara Reid one. She was the female lead in Van Wilder, which
is not bad.
That's a funny
we
movie.
We like Ryan Reynolds.
I like that movie.
He makes up for it. We'll make up for our Sharknado discussion this week by giving you our top five favorite killer animal movies. They are, for the most part, actual animals. You probably won't catch a Sharknado or Sharktopus in our top five list, but that'll be out later this week. If you've seen Sharknado, let us know. We'd love to hear kind of your most ridiculous moment. We left a couple out just to give you guys some ammo and because we didn't want this to last for twice as long as the movie. So let us know your thoughts on Sharknado if you're pumped about seeing the second one. moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet your thoughts at us @moviesonup on the Twitter. Check us out on iTunes. Leave us a review. We would love that. That's really all. Anything else you want to plug?
Hit us up on Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can find me @DaveBasella on Twitter or DaveBasella.com. That's all I have.
Dave, it's been a hell of a day. And until the next episode,
keep it up.